morning. I greatly covered your prayers this morning. I still get nervous up here. And the Lord's been talking to me, and I'd like to be faithful and give him what give you this morning what he's given me. And so I would appreciate your prayers. I'd like to talk this morning about stewardship by the Lord's help. At Guthrie this year, the Lord gave Brother Marty a message about vessels. And the Lord's been talking to me about that quite a bit since that time, and taking the thoughts in many different directions. And so what you hear this morning, there may be some overlap with the message that the Lord gave Brother Marty. I'd recommend that you, if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. It's good. But I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 5th verse. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And then it goes on, and the Lord's given me many thoughts about this passage, and it talks about how we're pressed on every side, we're not in despair, and some of the lessons that the Lord has given me out of that involves man being created like a tree. The Bible compares people to trees, and how it's amazing that one of the most perishable substances God created to be able to endure for hundreds, or in some cases thousands of years. I know they say the bristlecone pine trees out in Israel, some of those places, can be dated as far back as 4,000 and 5,000 years. It's made of wood. The trees are made of wood. But there's a constant renewing, but there's life that's in those things. And so one of the most perishable substances, wood, you leave a 2x4 out and you know what'll happen to it in a couple of years, especially in a moist environment like it is here. And in Kentucky, it's similar. Leave a stick of wood on the ground, it immediately starts to decay. It turns gray, and then it gets soft on the outside. And as as time goes by, the softness gets deeper, and then after a while, it just becomes assimilated back into the soil. But a tree's different. It has life to it, and the things that would be destroyed, it's able, by the life that's in it, to withstand all the forces of the external elements, the wind, the changes of temperature, the moisture, the bugs, all of those things. And you can go, the tiniest twigs, you take a little twig and break it off and leave it on the ground, it won't be very long at all before it's turned back into dirt. But those little twigs can be right out there full of life. And there's a great lesson in that. But this says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And Jesus told them when he was here, he said, "Ye are the light of the world." The light that God shines, that people see, much of it, most of it, is going to come from other people, shining through other people. It's like a prism where it breaks the light into all the spectrum, and you can see the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the righteousness and the truth and the love of God. That's the goal, for people to see those attributes in our lives. When we become a Christian, Second Peter says, if these things be in you and abound, and the original there means if these things, if they exist and they're increasing, and the Lord wants us to be able to shine those things to others. But he compares it to, he compares us to being earthen vessels. But inside the earthen vessel, there's something valuable of inestimable quality and value. And it's something that we, you know what our job is? To keep it. To be the steward of it. To care for it. To be the guardian of it. To let other people partake of it in the way that God intended. For it not to be spoiled. For it not to be tainted. For it to be the same thing. And so that's what I'd like to talk about by the help of the Lord this morning. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. And I think there are several other places where he said something similar to Timothy. And I've got one more written down here. 2 Timothy 1:14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know, he was speaking to Timothy, who was the young pastor in Crete, I believe it was. And you would think, well, yeah, he had something to keep. And Paul put his hands on him and gave him this gift. I want to tell you something. Every one of us here are an earthen vessel of one kind or another. And you have a treasure that's inside your earthen vessel. And the Lord wants you to keep that which was committed to your trust. So I'd like to talk this morning about how we can do that. How are we going to be able to go through life and keep that which the Lord delivered to us? Well, people have had ideas, different ideas about how to do that. The Lord had told a parable of three servants, and he gave them amounts of money and said, I want you to keep that until I come. I want you to occupy. And two of them went and they did everything they could possibly do with it. And the other man, he had an idea about the Lord that I'm afraid that too many today have. And he said, I knew you were a hard man. This is the perception I had of you. You're not generous. You're not kind. And so why should I give you anything more than what you deserve? I'm going to bring you back exactly what you gave me. I haven't lost it. I didn't let it rot. Didn't do anything with it. Dug a hole in the earth, and maybe he took, put it in a jar, sealed it up where the things from underground, bugs and all that, wouldn't get to it, put it away. And maybe he thought, well, when the master comes back, I'm going to give him exactly what he gave me. And that's really all he deserves because he's a hard man. I want to tell you that the Lord's not a hard man. He's a man that, see, the Lord is the master that he was referring to in that. And I believe that the Lord works with people that have the wrong idea about who he is. And he says, let me prove to you who I am. And if we will stick with him, he'll help us to understand little by little and be convinced in the deepest recesses of our heart what kind of God he really is. He's a God of mercy and love and kindness and long-suffering. And he wants us to be convinced of that. And so he will work with us. But this man didn't even keep that which was committed to him. It was the master's right to receive something, even if it was just putting in the bank and getting usury, and he didn't do that. I think people have a lot of excuses sometimes, and they give less than what even with their limited understanding about who the Lord is, what they could have given. And the Lord will require that. But maybe we'll talk about that a little more later. I'd like to think about Daniel this morning. Maybe we'll start in the first chapter, about the 8th verse. It says, well, Daniel was, according to what I have read, Daniel was only around 13 or 14 years old when he was taken to Babylon. May have been a little older than that, but he wasn't very old at all. Just a young person. And he didn't really have any great responsibilities. And he didn't have any fame. And he wasn't really known for anything. He was just one of the people that were taken captive to Babylon. But he had something to keep. And it says that at the very first chapter of the book, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I marvel at the language of this verse. It didn't just say Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not do anything that would get himself in trouble with the Lord. But he purposed in his heart that he would be able to keep anything that the Lord had delivered to him, which wasn't much at the time. But he said, I'm not going to let this defile me. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be the vessel to hold the treasure God wants me to hold. And so he said that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And we know what happened there. And then if we go on to the second chapter, Daniel had acquired a reputation by this time, and because God was with him. And he had it later on in the book, it says that an excellent spirit was in him. But the Lord kept giving him more and more things to keep. And, you know, I believe that the Lord gives people things to keep, and sometimes he would have given them a lot more. But they don't keep that which he gave them. And so in 2:26 of Daniel, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. This was a heathen king. He didn't really know much about God at all. If you go down to the 46th verse, after Daniel had interpreted the dream, I believe this was the one that he had the dream, couldn't even remember what he dreamed, and I'm sure the scientists and the magicians and all that were on hand to give an interpretation. They probably spent maybe a few, generally in a situation like this, they'd maybe spend a few hours collaborating with each other, making sure that their story was all the same, cohesive, and then they would go to the king, and the king would give them a reward and whatever. But this time, the stakes were raised a little bit, and the Lord made it where the magicians didn't really have anything to say, because they knew that if they started relaying, well, king, you dreamed that, and he'd say, well, I didn't dream that, and they'd be in trouble. And so they took the wisest course they knew how to take and said, well, there's not a man on earth that can do this. And Daniel agreed with them. But he said, there's a God in heaven. And then in the 46th verse, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And if you read through the book of Daniel, you'll find that that he was a man that had great responsibilities, and he was greatly exalted by the kings under which he served. He 48th verse, and it doesn't say in the 46th verse that he accepted or received any of that. I believe that in the context of everything else that you read about Daniel, he didn't let himself be worshipped. But in the 48th verse, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So he became Nebuchadnezzar's prime minister, basically. Ruler over all of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Darius did the same thing when Daniel came under him. It says that he had 120 princes, and over those there were three presidents. Daniel was one of those three, and he was the first. And so the princes would report to the presidents, and then the presidents would have to report to Daniel. Everything that happened was under Daniel's approval. And so Daniel had great responsibility, and it was the Lord. The Lord set that up. The Lord gave him those things. And through it all, you can see that he would shun the accolades. And I remember, I think about when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, he called Daniel in and he said, you interpret this, I've heard of you, and I'll make you the third ruler in the kingdom, and I'll give you a scarlet robe and put a gold chain on your neck. And you know, Daniel had many opportunities in his life to just kind of take to himself some of that. He had opportunities to just, maybe just a little bit, to just kind of take some of that honor and be thought of as somebody. But he said, I want you to keep your gifts to yourself. You know what he was doing? He was being a steward of the treasure the Lord gave him, of the gifts that the Lord gave him. Remember Paul and Barnabas. I think it's over in the 14th chapter of Acts. When they came to some new place, I don't remember exactly where it was, but the locals there said the gods are come down. And they killed some oxen, and they came out with garlands, and they were going to offer sacrifice. And Paul and Barnabas rent their clothes and said, sirs, why do ye these things? We are men of like passions just as you are. And there are many opportunities in the Bible for some of these godly men to be lifted up or to take to themselves things. You know what would have happened? It would have marred their vessel. You know what happens when the vessel's marred? The treasure leaks out. You know, it was a while back, somebody said, I've had this happen a few times. Somebody came and said something to me that was beyond normal encouragement, that there was something that I did and the Lord blessed it, and somebody came and said something that was more than just encouragement. It was a lifting up, and I told my wife afterwards, you know, I believe the Lord has grace to deal with those things just like He has grace to deal with every other temptation that comes our way. Well, recently, I went to a meeting, and I felt like the Lord had something for me to give, but there was something that was being held back, and I didn't know what it was, and so I began to pray and seek the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm your vessel. I'm a vessel for you. I want to do whatever you want me to do, but Lord, what's the matter? And He started talking to me about some things that I hadn't been doing so well in. And I began, and I said, Lord, I'll fix it. by your grace and your help, I'm going to fix this. Lord, don't throw me away. Lord, would you please help me? I want to be a vessel for you. And you know, I don't know if it was 10 minutes after I said that, that the Lord flooded me with what he wanted me to give. And I believe that the Lord wants us as his people to do everything that we can do to keep that that's committed. You might not be a pulpit minister. You might not be a missionary. You might not be called to do any of those things, but the Lord has called you to keep something. Every one of you, the Lord has called you to keep something. I have looked and I've been amazed over the years at the gifts that God has given to some people. I've been amazed at some people the Lord shows peculiar things to that he doesn't show other people. Some people the Lord gives great understanding in some areas to, and he doesn't give it to other people. It's the gift. We have these gifts that the Lord gives. And I want to tell you that it's not just a few that he gives those gifts to. The scripture says that to every one of us is given gifts. There's a teaching in the world today, in Christendom, that the gifts of the apostles, what they call it, healings, things like that, that they ceased with the death of the apostles. If the term for that is being a cessationist, and I'll just tell you this morning that I am no cessationist. I believe that the Lord's gifts to his body are necessary, and they still and they're needed, and they operate wherever they can. Why did I word it like that? Because the Lord has vessels he wants to use. And if we are vessels that are committed to keeping that which the Lord has committed to us, there, I don't think there's any limit to what the Lord can do with us. He can take the little that we feel like we have, and maybe if we feel like we have a lot, then the Lord's got a plan for that too. But the Lord can take what we have and he can use it in a way that we never imagined he'd be able to use it. But we can take those gifts and we can, even if we recognize what they are, I have seen people that had gifts that were very much used of the Lord, and after a while something happened and they marred. And the things that the Lord had given to them, they didn't keep. I thought, and I believe it's not just in, it's individual, it's on an individual basis. But you ever wonder why, maybe you think, well, I wonder why we don't see as much healing or whatever, fill in the blank. That, and we read about the books by the old pioneers, and this happened and that happened, just don't see as much. I want to ask you, a while back, there was someone that, I'm going to word it a little bit differently. What if someone passed away? And I'm going to pick on Brother Marty. I don't think he'll mind. And the Lord, and Brother Marty went down and laid his hands on him and prayed, and the person was raised back to life. How would you feel about that? Do you think that there would be the temptation to lift Brother Marty up? Do you think Brother Marty would have the temptation to be lifted up? I believe that the Lord many times has things that he wants to do among his people. And I have seen great things. I've seen healings. I've seen... And I believe that many times the Lord has mercy and there are things that happen. And it's just, you can attribute it to the great mercy of God. But I believe that other times that there are things that the Lord is just waiting for us to be stewards to the point where He can entrust us with something. The scripture in James 1 and 12 said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Look this up a little bit. It's not just talking about trials. I used to kind of think that this verse was just talking about great trials and afflictions and things like that. But I'd like to read to you Adam Clark's commentary on this. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man who stands in his temptation. That's what the original Greek says here. For there is no man whom God does not try. This is something that I believe was written by one of the rabbis. He tries the rich to see if they will open their hands to the poor. He tries the poor to see if they will receive affliction and not murmur. If therefore the rich stand in his temptation and give alms to the poor, he shall enjoy his riches in this world, and his horn shall be exalted in the world to come. And the holy blessed God shall deliver him from the punishment of hell. If the poor stand in his temptation and do not repine or kick back, he shall have double in the world to come. This is exactly the sentiment of James. Every man is in this life in a state of temptation or trial, and in this state he is a candidate for another and a better world. He that stands in his trial shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It is only love to God that can enable a man to endure the trials of life. And it goes on. And then it says, there may be an allusion here to the contests in the Grecian games. He is crowned who conquers and none else. And we have the scriptures in Revelation that talk about what the message the Lord delivered to the seven churches. And what was the common thing that was said to every church? He that overcometh. He that overcometh. The one that receives the talents that the Lord gives him and overcomes all the attempts of the devil to do something else with them besides what the Lord wants to use them for. God wants us to be pillars, all of us. We talk about people, I think I mentioned just yesterday, talking about some people in a congregation, and I said they're pillars. You know, the Lord wants every one of you to be a pillar. In your own family, if nothing else. And I don't even want to diminish that. It's very important to be a pillar in your own family. But the Lord, you know what a pillar does? It withstands great pressure, great weight, great responsibility. I believe that the Lord delights in giving, in trusting us with things. You ever thought about a trial in that way? The Lord's entrusted me with a trial. The Lord's entrusted. You ever thought about a temptation that way? The Lord has put me in this situation and He's entrusted me with this temptation. The Lord has entrusted me with this illness. The Lord has entrusted me with this neighbor. The Lord has entrusted me with this gift. So the question is, what am I doing with the gift that the Lord gave me? Am I doing something to diminish the usability of it? Am I letting it leak out of the vessel? Am I taking some of the treasure for myself and not letting it go any farther, and I'm keeping it and it's spoiling and all that? Do you know that all of those things, if Daniel would have started letting himself take some of the honors, then he would not have been able to keep the treasure. And I believe that the story would have probably stopped about Daniel a whole lot sooner than it did. Think of Samson. Samson was a man that God gave an extraordinary gift to, was it not? And he was able to do all kinds of things, but his vessel marred so badly because of the misuse of the things that he did. I want to ask you, if the Lord was able, or I don't want to word it that way. If the Lord entrusts you with a great revelation about something, are you willing to keep that and only use it in the way that the Lord wants you to? Or are you going to take the opportunity to tell everybody about it so that they can see how the Lord talks to you? There's all kinds of things like that. If the Lord gave you a great intellect, you know the Lord has a purpose and a use for that. If the Lord gave you an ability, a beautiful voice and the ability to sing, you know that there's a way to use that to where it is such a blessing to the people of God, to the body of Christ. And I see people that have undeniable gifts here and there. And sometimes I see them and I think, you know, the Lord is really using them. And then sometimes I look at it and I say, oh, what could the Lord do with that? It would be so useful. It would be so valuable in the body of Christ. But they're taking this gift that the Lord's entrusted them with. And you know, I believe that the Lord will entrust us. He wants to entrust us with more things. That's what he did with Daniel. Daniel had he was entrusted with some pork, if you want to put it that way. And he didn't mar his vessel. And then the Lord entrusted him with a dream. And he didn't mar his vessel. And then the Lord entrusted him with different interpretations. And the Lord entrusted him with a position that was very exalted and lofty in the kingdom. And he didn't mar his vessel. He kept those things. And he used them all to the glory of God. And you know, the Lord wants to entrust you and I with things. And he has entrusted us with things. And you know, if the Lord, if we will be faithful in those things, I believe the Lord will entrust us with more things and more things to where you can be a mighty warrior for the Lord and His work. And you can do things that you never thought you could be able to do. And you can further the kingdom of God. You can be instrumental in the growth of your congregation. You can be a pillar in your family life, in your family at home. You can come and be a valuable asset to the work of the Lord. And you can do much good. But you've got to keep your vessel. You've got to keep your vessel. It says, now I'd like to read in Luke the 12th chapter. And the 35th verse. Jesus said, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." Why would he put it like that? Why would they open to him immediately? It's because of what we heard last night. They knew what they were doing. They knew that they were ready. They were ready to get him back. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, what am I doing with what the Lord gave me? How am I using it? How am I exercising it? And not only that, am I in a place where the Lord can even entrust me with stuff? How am I keeping my vessel? Am I keeping it clean? You know, that it taught me a valuable lesson recently when I was praying. It felt like that there was just a coolness there. And the Lord wanted to give me some things. But we had some housekeeping to do. And the Lord began to talk to me. And you know, it was not until after I said, "Lord, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to take care of this. And then the Lord began to deal with me about how He wanted to use me in the meeting. He said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." I believe that many times when we are tempted to take things for ourselves, whether it's honor, accolades, that kind of thing, we take those things. We don't really have a vision of what the end of this thing is going to be like. You know, when we're guarding the treasure in the earthen vessels, do you think that we're not ever going to get to enjoy it? Folks, there's a reward coming. There's going to be a day when the Lord is going to say, "Those things that I entrusted to you to keep, you get to enjoy the benefits." Can you imagine being in heaven and somebody come up to you? Well, the Scripture says the Lord's going to wipe away all tears, so maybe they won't have tears running down their face, but come to you and say, maybe it's your nephew or your grandson or maybe somebody older than you even, say, I would have been lost, but you allowed the Lord to help you to minister to me and to speak to me and to help me get here where I'm at now. I'm in heaven with you, and it's because you let the Lord use your vessel. There's a song, and I can't really think of it right now, but it's called Faces. It's all the people that the seeds that we cast, and we don't even know if they sprouted or not. We don't know what happened and don't know the results of it. Do you know we're going to see the results of those things? We're going to see and we're going to be recompensed. Brother Donnie Elwell says that when we get to heaven, we're going to be grossly overpaid. And I've heard him give the example of, it's like if somebody asks you, "Will you mow my yard?" And maybe it's, I don't know, $20 or $30 worth of mowing or something. Well, probably not anymore. But you get done and you're all hot and sweaty, ready to get cleaned up. And the owner of the yard says, "You did a good job. Here's $10,000. That's what it's going to be like for us. If we keep what the Lord has committed to us. Now, I'd like to read just one more scripture. I hope this is making sense this morning. Jeremiah 18 and 1. I'd like to read to you some words of hope. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." I've seen some marred vessels before. I've marred my vessel before. And sometimes the Lord is able, it depends on what it is, and sometimes the Lord will, you know, we have failings sometimes through our life, and if we deal with those, the Lord will have great mercy on us. But there are some times when the vessel's marred where it can't be the same vessel anymore. And the Lord doesn't take that and throw it away. He says, "The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And so you may be listening to this message this morning and you may be thinking, well, I've already blown it. I know what the Lord wanted me to do. Can't do it anymore. The Lord wants to entrust you with some treasure. Might not be the same thing. But the Lord has infinite mercy and grace, and He's so long-suffering and so gracious. And the Lord wants you to be a mighty warrior for Him in His kingdom. No matter what you've done, no matter how you have messed up your vessel, if you find yourself in that place this morning, the Lord, by His mercy, can make another vessel. You might not have the same job, might not perform the same function, but the Lord will create a place for you, and you can eat the fruit of it at the end. You don't have to be hopeless this morning. May the Lord help us today. I just have a burden, that a great desire that every one of us will recognize what the Lord has entrusted to us. And our prayer, every one of us, will be, Lord, how can I keep that which You've committed to me? If You've given me a gift, how can I guard that? How can I keep that? Not going to dig a hole and bury it. I'm going to use it, but Lord, how can I use it for You in such a way where the glory doesn't go to me, where the immediate results of it aren't to benefit me, where when I exercise it, it's not for the purpose of causing other people to turn their heads. How can I keep it clean? Lord, help me to be a vessel for You. Help me to be able to keep that which was committed to my trust. Lord, if You have other things that You want me to do, I'm going to keep this vessel as clean as I possibly can. And when I fail, I'm going to come back and to You and say, Lord, how can I fix this? And you know, if we keep a clean slate like that, the Lord will be very faithful to help us. You pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord too. Amen.